Hello, welcome to the debate. I'm Kavit Afwayi. Israeli warplanes attacked the Gaza Strip. It was reported it was due to Gaza's rocket fire, a claim that Hamas has denied. It was also reported that this was a blow to efforts to avert a new war. Is there a new war brewing between Israel and Gaza? In this edition of the Gaza Strip, we will look at the Israeli illegal siege, other restrictions onto the Gaza Strip, the most recent being fuel supplies, and also we will take a look at the Great Return March, which continues to claim Palestinian lives on a weekly basis. First, let's talk to our correspondent, Ashraf Shannon, who joins us from the Gaza Strip. Tell us about the depth of this attack that took place, Ashraf. Today, we understand that 20 targets were hit.
Yes, Kaveh, very early in the morning, Israeli Air Force carried out at least 20 airstrikes attacking several areas in the Gaza Strip. These airstrikes took place while thousands of school children were heading to the schools, and this is what resulted in the injuries of at least 8 people. And also during the airstrikes, Israeli forces have killed one man in the northern Gaza Strip town of Beit Hanun. These attacks come as Israel continues a heavy-handed crackdown against the weekly March of Return rallies, which began on March 30th. Since then, Israeli forces have killed at least 205 people, injured over 20,000 others. And Israel also has banned the entry of fuel into the Gaza Strip. And to increase and to furthermore increase the already suffocating and blockade in place since 2007 that has taken its toll on all aspects of life in the besieged enclave. These airstrikes came only a few days after the growing warmongering rhetoric by Israeli officials. And even this evening, Israeli officials made clear statements that they are planning some sort of heavy-handed attack on the Gaza Strip that could possibly lead to a new Israeli war on Gaza. In 2014, Israeli forces killed at least 2,200 people in Gaza and injured thousands more. Nearly 100,000 homes were either partially or completely destroyed during the one-ton bombardment. Now, the Palestinian resistance factions in Gaza, their joint operational room made very clear statement that in case there is an Israeli attack, they will respond heavily to such attacks.
Very well, thank you for that. We appreciate it. Correspondent Ashraf Shannon there talking to us from the Gaza Strip. To get an analysis on this, we are joined by Richard Millett. He's a journalist and political commentator who joins us from London. We also have Richard Becker from the Answer Coalition joining us from San Francisco. Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you both. And Richard Miller, let me start with you. Our correspondent there said that the rhetoric coming out of Israel may point to a situation where a war might break out. Do you believe that based on the situation coming out of the Gaza Strip that Israel is preparing for a war?
Kaveh, it's already war. You know, this is a continuous war by Hamas, who are firing hundreds of rockets, hitting Israeli homes by the day, infiltrations from Hamas into Israel, and Israel's at war. Israel is taking war measures to defend itself against Hamas. And this is Hamas, who doesn't care about its own people. There's no protection for its own people. Its own people are caught. I wouldn't say its own people, because these are Gazans. These are Palestinians. These are not the same as Hamas. Hamas is a sick Nazi regime, and it's controlling the people of Gaza for its own profit. However many people are caught in the crossfire, whether it's Israelis, innocent Israelis, or innocent Palestinians, Hamas wants to destroy Israel, even to the last Gazan, even down to the last if every single innocent Gazan was killed tomorrow, let's say, theoretically, this wouldn't bother Hamas one bit, because Hamas charter of 1988 says that every single part of what is now Israel is something that they will aim to recover, however much bloodshed it costs. So let's face it, let's be honest for once. This is a regime that's killing its own people, in effect, while it's also trying to kill innocent Israelis. So yes, Kaveh, it's war already between Israel and Hamas, and the only way there'll be peace, unfortunately, is if Israel totally annihilates Hamas, leading to peace for both the Israeli people and for the people of Gaza.
Well, it's interesting. Richard Becker, our guest, Richard Militz, makes some points. One of them is that Hamas is killing its own people. But the last time we checked, it was Israel that's killing Palestinians on a weekly basis. Over 200 Palestinians have been killed in what has been called this Great Return March rallies. What is your view of as to how Israel has been treating the Gaza Strip?
Well, I think that Mr. Millett mentions the Nazis, and he just gave a very good example of Joseph Goebbels-like propaganda, the big lie. It's the big lie, and you keep repeating it, and you make it bigger and bigger and bigger, and then people will believe it. The reality of the situation is that Gaza is completely blockaded. It's blockaded by Israel. It's blockaded at the other end of this small territory, densely populated territory, by the reactionary Egyptian government. But the main punishment is inflicted on the people of Gaza, the Palestinian people, not by Hamas, but by Israel every day in every way. And it's the denial of fuel, it's the denial of medicine, it's the denial of construction materials to rebuild from the airstrikes that just demolished most of the housing in Gaza in 2014. What the Israelis are preparing to do, I believe, is what they call, in a disgusting term, mow the lawn again. They like to talk about mowing the lawn, that is, reducing the capacity to resist of the Palestinians in Gaza. They did this in 2008, 2009, they did it in 2012, and they did it in an even bigger way in 2014, when more than 2,200 Palestinians were killed, over 10,000 were wounded. They were not the victims of Hamas. They were the victims of the Israeli occupation army and air force. And, you know, we have to also point out that these airstrikes are carried out against what is really a defenseless area. These are cowardly actions, and they should be called for what they are, cowardly actions of the pilots who face no possibility of being shot down or retribution. They are just given a green light to inflict as much damage as possible, or as they're instructed to, on the civilian population of Gaza. That's the reality of the situation.
Richard Millett, this terminology used, mowing the lawn, do you agree with it?
I don't know where it comes from. I mean, the only lawn that's been mowed is the indigenous Indians in America. A genocide of the indigenous Indian population in America, where Mr. Becker is now residing, and Mr. Becker is profiting. Mr. Becker is profiting from what's happened to the indigenous Indians. So that's where the lawn has been mowed, right in front of Mr. Becker's home, in his front garden. He's sitting on the land of probably once owned by another people. And he's benefited very, very nicely from that. So if he wants to talk about mowing the lawn, he really needs to look at where he's living at this current time.
It's funny to hear that from the center of the British Empire, which at one time the sun never set on, and the great wealth accumulated in England. Of course, the indigenous people were the victims of genocide, and we are opposed to that, and we support the struggle of the indigenous people here in the United States, and we support the struggle of the indigenous people in Palestine, and who have a right to their homeland.
Do Palestinians have a right
so
to their homeland?
So will you be leaving America and giving... Will you be giving the land back that you're sitting on, Mr. Becker? Will you be returning the land that you're sitting on back to the indigenous Indians from which it was taken? Or are you going to sit there and benefit from it for the rest of your life?
Yeah, I see that you're trying to change the subject from Palestine, and I think you have a good reason to want to do that. The term mow the lawn comes from a military officer of the Israeli military, a high-ranking member of the Israeli government used the phrase mowing the lawn to describe these repeated attacks on Gaza. It's the most dastardly, disgusting term to use, because what he's really talking about when he says mowing the lawn is talking about inflicting maximum damage on the civilian population in Gaza.
Why is Israel exerting this type of damage, Richard Millett, onto the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip? We could start out with the siege, and the most recent one being the restriction of fuel supplies to the Gaza Strip.
I mean, all these restrictions are actually being imposed by the Palestinian Authority. Remember, there's the other enemy of Hamas is the Palestinian Authority. They are the ones restricting everything that's going into Gaza. They're the ones who are withholding money from Hamas. I don't know what you want Israel to do, just sit there and let its citizens be murdered by the rockets from Hamas. You know, instead of all this aid that's going to Gaza, going to the Gazan people, all this aid is being stolen by Hamas. They're not even building security tunnels.
That's
not even
a
building
lie.
Air raid shelters. They're not even building air raid shelters for their own people. All they're building is tunnels so they can smuggle themselves into Israel to try to murder innocent Israeli children and slaughter little Israeli babies in their cots. This is the Hamas that you're talking about. This is a sick Nazi regime that Mr. Becker seems to be wanting to defend every time I hear him. These are Hamas. This regime would happily have every single one of its of the Gazan people slaughtered just to benefit Hamas. Hamas enriches itself. It steals all the aid to the people of Gaza. It gives nothing to the people of Gaza except oppression and murder. And if you want to look, if you want to really lay the blame at someone, you've got to aim it at Hamas.
Well, let's get Richard Becker in this. Richard Becker, you said something to the point where it's a lie. What were you referring to when Richard Millett was talking?
That all of the aid is just consumed by Hamas, and none of it goes to the people. That's not true. I mean, what the Trump administration has now done is cut off all funding to UNRWA, and UNRWA has run the schools, the health care, and providing food for people who were unjustly and unjustifiably evicted from their homeland to make way for the creation of the State of Israel in 1948, with hundreds of thousands or more evicted in 1967 after that war. So UNRWA has been providing that aid to the people. And there's no doubt that most of that aid, by far the greater part of that aid, has gone to support the people. I mean, we can't attest for every dollar of it, but the idea that it's all the money is going to Hamas, this is just more of the talking points from the Israeli Ministry of Information. This is just a shilling for the State of Israel, which carries out its murderous attacks and its occupation against the Palestinians every day in Gaza and in the West Bank and inside the 48 borders against the population, which has now officially been discriminated against in the apartheid law passed in July, the so-called Jewish nation state law, which denies the right of self-determination to anyone except Jewish people inside Israel, even though there are a couple million people who are not Jewish Israelis inside those territories. So this is the reality of the situation has to be faced, and the reality of the situation is illustrated by the fact that today there are more than 5,000 Palestinians in Israeli prisons, and there are exactly zero Israelis inside Palestinian prisons. That single fact shows who is the oppressor and who is the oppressed, who is the colonizer and who is the colonized.
Richard Millett, why is it that Israel is killing Palestinians who are protesting in what's called this Great Return March on a weekly basis? They are not only killing Palestinians, but they are upping the or increasing the pressure for more Palestinians to be targeted based on the most recent statement that has come out of Israel on this. I mean, we're looking at over 200 Palestinians killed. One Israeli soldier was killed by Palestinian what's understood as fire over the same period. One Israeli soldier. But every week, these Palestinians, desperate, are coming out and they're getting killed. But could Israel prevent this killing?
I mean, desperate. What are you talking about? They're desperate. I mean, they are being forced into the front line. Hamas is putting innocent people in front of their own guns. So every time Hamas fires a rocket, if Israel retaliates, yes, there is a chance, unfortunately, because Hamas refuses to protect the people of Gaza. They're being used as human shields day after day after day. Unfortunately, there will be probably innocent people who are going to get killed. But, you know, Israel's targeting is very, very good. And 95% of the time, Hamas even admits this. Hamas even admits it. It puts all the martyrs up there to show, yes, Israel has actually killed Hamas military people. So, you know, Israel's fighting a war and its targeting is very, very good, even though Hamas puts thousands of its own, it forces them to the front line. Can you imagine living in Gaza, say, you know, if they refuse to go to the fence, to the front, they don't go to Egypt, to the Egyptian front line. Even Mr. Becker admitted in a
moment
of truth.
This is a totally made up story. This is a made up story by Mr. Millett. This is a falsification of reality. The people are out there resisting. They're resisting. The people, the Palestinian people are resisting. No one's being forced to go into the Great March.
Okay, go ahead, Richard Millett. Sorry.
You'll have your point. They obviously are being forced because they don't go to the Egyptian border, do they? If they were really angry with their situation, they wouldn't just go to the Israeli border. They would go to the Egyptian border and protest at the Egyptian border. But they don't go to the Egyptian border, do they? They only go to the Israeli border. So people like Mr. Becker can come out and say, oh, evil Israel, evil Israel. The problem is people like Mr. Becker and the rest of the world are fueling this conflict because Hamas knows every time they go civilians to the Israeli border and people unfortunately get caught up in it.
No.
People like Mr. Becker can say, look at Israel, but they don't. Why aren't they going to the Egyptian border? What your viewers must
ask. I'll tell you why they're not going.
Brian Becker, go ahead. Richard Becker, go
60
ahead.
To 70% of the 70% of the people in Gaza are refugees, are the descendants of those who were evicted in 1948. Their homeland was stolen to make way, not for Egypt, but for the state of Israel. That's why they're going to the Israeli border. That's why they call it the Great March of Return. Not a march of return to Egypt, a march of return to their homeland, Palestine, a homeland that they have a right to. The right of self-determination belongs to the Palestinian people as it does to all oppressed people. And that's why these demonstrations are happening. And, you know, the idea that rockets were being fired, no rockets were being fired during the Great March of Return. This is just, again, these are the talking points of the Israeli Ministry of Information that Mr. Millett is passing on to us. People were shot down by snipers who had no danger, no threat to themselves, and could just fire away, again, in the most cowardly fashion, causing so many, not only deaths, over 200, but hundreds and hundreds of amputations, hundreds and hundreds of people maimed for life because they don't want to live in an open-air prison and they don't want to die in an open-air prison in silence.
Richard Millett, can we look at the scenario, if I can actually pull you into picturing what happens every Friday? I don't know if you've seen the Great March of Return rallies. So you have these Palestinians from the Gaza Strip, they come in this so-called buffer zone, and from all the videos that have been watched, I mean, from witnesses, from the videos, most of them are carrying either rocks or things that they're throwing at the Israeli soldiers, which obviously is not hitting them. But you have the Israeli soldiers who have the guns, and they're targeting these Palestinians. Don't you think that they can prevent deaths from occurring? Again, over 200 Palestinians have been killed. My only point is, can deaths be prevented? Do you think it can?
Unfortunately not. I mean, most of those 200 are Hamas. As I have to repeat, they are Hamas fighters who have been killed. They've been trying to get into Israel. They breach the border. And if they get into Israel, if they get into a town in Israel, they will slaughter every man, woman, and child that they come across. Uh-huh. No one can let anyone breach the border. And, you know, my colleague here in America, he's so concerned for the Palestinians. Meanwhile, he sits in his house on the land where there was a genocide, and he seems to do nothing for the real people who have lost their land, the indigenous Indians in America. And I really ask, you know, for Mr. Becker here to return the land from which the family, he might as well have been taken originally, instead of worrying about a conflict that is 10,000 kilometers away from him. Let him look after the indigenous Indians.
I got to bring Brian Becker in, Richard Becker in for the closing statement. Your reaction to what Richard Millett said there?
Well, the only reason that Richard Millett is talking about this at all is to try to change the subject and to shift attention away from the atrocities inflicted every day on the Palestinian people by the Israeli military. As I said before, we in the Answer Coalition, Act Now to Stop War and End Racism, stand in full solidarity with the indigenous people of this continent, of the world, and of course of the Palestinian people. Richard Millett is against the interest of the indigenous Palestinian people, and he makes that very clear. He's really a spokesperson for the State of Israel.
We're going to leave it there. Thank you very much. That was Richard Becker from the Answer Coalition talking to us from San Francisco. Richard Millett, thank you for your comments, journalist and political commentator. And at the top of the debate, we had our correspondent, Ashraf Shannon, who spoke to us from Gaza City. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitale, the entire team in the capital of Tehran, it's goodbye.